All hands, this is the captain speaking. Starfleet has confirmed reports that Romulus was destroyed 2 weeks ago by an ultranova in the adjacent Toba system. The colonies and subjugated worlds that survived are in need of humanitarian aid. Arabella has been assigned to a convoy that will cross the neutral zone in order to provide assistance. We are uncertain of the reception we will receive, but it is likely
we'll be met with resistance from the Romulan people. They won't want to accept charity from the Federation, but the captain says we should be prepared to accept evacuees and deal with confrontations with rogue members of the military. Security teams will need to be ready at a moment's notice.
We will begin drills at 0800 to prepare. Sickbay may be inundated with ill and wounded. I don't want my department to be overwhelmed. Many of you were a part of the staff aboard the Tiberius. You are seasoned veterans. I know you are fully capable of handling this situation.
Shields up. Red alert.
Captain, our shields cannot take much more.
Beyond the neutral zone, the Romulan people suffer in chaos. The Hobus Ultranova laid waste to their fractured empire. Stability has crumbled, and infrastructure ravaged. Friend and foe amass in shadows, waiting to pick their bones, yet the Federation takes nothing but their burdens. These are the voyages of Arabella, the flagship of the Seventh Fleet. Its mission, to defend the helpless, to render aid where needed, to befriend a former enemy, to boldly go where no Starfleet vessel has gone before. Season 10 of the Arabella fanfiction and RPG begins June 26th on the Treks and Sci-Fi Forum. Read along as the story progresses every day, or be entertained as you listen to the Treks and Sci-Fi microcast, The Ready Room, as we dramatically read a chapter each week.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity. Peculiarity. Irregularity. Inconsistency. Incongruity. A rarity.
Hello and welcome to Anomaly. I'm Jen, and I'm bringing you this miniskirt cast all by my lonesome. But rest assured, Angela will be back to join me in our next fully loaded episode, coming in August. You still have time to vote for the topic of that episode. Just head to the Anomaly blog, found on our website, and select the topic that interests you the most. Today I'm interviewing Danny Pepe about his upcoming fan-made audio drama, Star Wars in the Shadows. Yours truly played a role in that production, and Danny did me a favor and sent me one of the scenes that my character appears in. I'll play that clip at the end of the show. After the interview, I'll play a segment that Nathan P. Butler was kind enough to put together for us about the expanded universe. Nathan is a guru on the EU, and if you don't know what the EU is, basically that's everything outside of the Star Wars films. He knows all about it, and I don't. Check out his podcast and website. I'll provide the links in the Anomaly blog, which once again can be found on our website, anomalypodcast.com. Let's go to the interview.
I just don't want to throw you any curveballs, so if there's any questions that you don't like, just let me know and I won't ask them.
Let me see.
Okay.
Do you wear a miniskirt right now? That would be no.
No.
No, there is nothing really that...
Okay, good. Well... Yeah. Oh, and I guess I should ask, I want to pronounce your last name correctly.
Oh, good luck.
I'm a Spanish speaker, so to me it's Pepin, but I don't know for sure.
No, I'm going to say it in French, and you might try to. It's Danny Pepe.
Okay, Pepe.
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 So the first part, phonetically, if I was to spell it out in English, would look like pay to pay someone, and pe, like P-E, correct?
P-A-Y, the first part.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
And the last part, it's not a syllable used in the English language, so
okay.
It's hard to
I'll try really hard to say it correctly.
No problem. If you use Pepin or whatever,
I'll try. I'll do my best. So, okay, here we go. Hello, Danny. Welcome to Anomaly.
Hi, Jen.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to me about your project.
No problem.
Star Wars in the Shadows. I heard your sample, and I really thought you did a great job, and everyone's going to love it.
I hope so.
They will. It sounds great. You did a great job.
Thank you.
I think I've told you this before, but I'm not sure. I used to listen to you back when you co-hosted Star Wars on Direct.
Mm-hmm.
And I credit you guys for introducing me to the EU. The first book I read was due to your interview with Karen Travis.
Okay.
It was Hard Contact that you guys talked about. And that was my introduction. And thank you very much. You guys had a great rapport, and your conversations about the expanded universe were very insightful and addicting. I was very disappointed when it ended.
You're infected now. It has infected you. Yeah, I was sad also to leave the show because I had to move away. So the chemistry between the hosts when they're not in front of each other is different. So, but they continued with the show without me, but it never got to be the same. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're kind of like the organization.
The whipping. Do I say it?
Yeah, I think I remember that Karen Travis named one of her characters after you after that interview. Yeah. Am I right?
Yes. Well, basically because we did a lot of interviews with her. We met her in Indianapolis for Celebration 5. We did a 2 hours interview with her. And we gave her some Clone Wars copies of the cartoon that was on TV at that point that she never saw. So she did like us. So at one point she was searching for a name and was lucky.
Which character did she name after you?
It's basically Lieutenant Pepin. My real name.
And what book did it appear in? Was it?
No, it's not in a book. It's in her short story.
Oh, okay, that's right.
A two-edged sword. Yeah, I don't remember which Star Wars Insider, but it maybe has been included in one of the paperbacks. I'm not sure which one, but probably at the back of one of her books. Maybe Sacrifice, Legacy of the Force.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I'm not sure. We would have to look back at her work and see it.
Well, I thought that was really cool that she would do that. I exchanged a few emails with her, and she was very, a very nice, down-to-earth person. Yeah.
Well, I thanked her by producing Omega Squad Target. So that was my way of thanking her.
And that's another one of your projects, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and your past projects?
Yeah, well, myself, I'm 37 years old, French-Canadian. You can probably see that with my accent. Well, born in the province of Quebec. Now I'm living in Ottawa, Ontario for the last 3 years. Sci-fi fan, fantasy fan. But I'm not following too much sci-fi TV shows. The last I was listening to was BSG, Battlestar Galactica. Mm-hmm. And Firefly back then, way back then. I never was a fan of Star Trek. I don't know. Maybe too cerebral for me.
Nah. It's okay if you don't like Star Trek. Let's just slide on that one.
Yeah. If you go to my Star Wars involvement, maybe over the years, it was mostly in the French community with the radio show Star Wars on the Rick. The French version that we began in 1999, and it's still going. So it's been 8.5 years now.
Awesome.
And the English, we slipped in the English community with Star Wars on the Rick, I think from 2003 to 2006. And also I'm a big fan of the EU, as you can imagine. And I own most of the novels, but I'm getting late on most of my reading now. I have other things to do, so... Star Wars in the Shadows, so I'm like 3 books late, which is the first time I've been late since the Heir of the Empire, the first EU book.
Yeah, you guys read really fast. It takes me a couple of weeks, or maybe 3 weeks, to read a book. But I remember when I was listening to you guys on Star Wars on Direct, you guys would read a book in like in a weekend, and it would be done. You eat them up, so.
Yeah, I was lucky to get Advance copy like maybe a week before, so I had a head start.
Can you give us a little background on Star Wars in the Shadows?
Yeah, what do you want to know about it?
Okay, well, what era does it take place in?
It's in the rise of the Empire, so basically between episode 3 and 4, the Dark Zone, I like to call it, because it's somewhere where George Lucas didn't authorize anything besides the Force Unleashed video game. There's nothing written there. So it was my opportunity to do something that might be plausible and into continuity. You know, it's nothing official. So I'm sure Lucasfilm will overrun my story with its live action series or something at one point. So never know. It's basically 1 year before A New Hope and shortly after The Force Unleashed. Just before the Death Star is completed, so it's basically in that period.
Can you tell everyone maybe some EU characters that appear in your story? Are they all characters that you have invented, or is there a mix of the two?
No, there's a mix of the two. I knew that if I wanted my audio drama to have some punch at some point, I needed to have known characters, because fans like to have known characters. So I have movie characters, like I have Darth Vader and Emperor Palpatine, which are included in the story. They're not present that much. They're at the start and the end of the story. They're involved, but they're secondary characters. I have Mon Mothma, who's also a secondary character. She's a senator still at that point, but she's one of the leaders of the Rebel Alliance. I have two other characters that are known to the EU fan. I have Shizor and Guri from Shadow of the Empire, one of my favorite books, and which came out a while back. It's set between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. So I have those two characters. Basically, we see them before we know what happened in Shadow of the Empire. And I have another character that appeared in the Marvel comics, I think, which is Malchiv Wormis, which was the captain of the Star Destroyer Devastator, the Star Destroyer that we see at the beginning of A New Hope. So he was one of the officers on board. So I'm basically took those characters and built around them. So
I feel very lucky to be playing a part, Guri. Thank you so much for letting me have that role.
No problem, and I was lucky that you did some kind of Android robot in the past.
I do a microcast called The Ready Room for the Treks and Sci-Fi podcast, and I've done the voice for the kind of the Borg Queen, and I know that you're not familiar with Star Trek, but she's a sultry cyborg type of a person. So I imagined that and Data from Star Trek. So, but we'll get into that later.
For those who don't know really about Shadow of the Empire, Shizor and Guri. So Shizor is a fallen prince and leader of Black Sun, which is the biggest criminal organization in the galaxy. And he always aspired to be the right-hand man of the Emperor instead of Vader. He tries to be close to Palpatine and helping him the best he can to further himself and his organization within the Empire. He hates Vader because his family was killed by one of the bombardments that Vader did on his planet. So he has like a grudge against Vader. So that's one of the reasons he's trying to basically replace Vader at some point. For the voice of Shizor, I did take a different approach than what we hear in the official audiobook of Shadows of the Empire. His voice was more raspy, reptilian, because if you see Shizor, he has green skin and he's kind of a reptilian race, but his voice was too raspy in the audio drama. I wanted him to sound more aristocratic. You can release pheromones, which can enchant all female of, so he can use more influence people with his pheromone. So that's one of his, not powers, but searching for the word here.
His abilities?
Yeah, abilities, yeah. Mm-hmm. As for Guri, well, she's one of the few, very few. I think she was the prototype, but I'm not sure. She is a human replica droid, so it's basically like Six in Battlestar Galactica. basically, it's almost impossible to know she's an android. You know, she can use your sex appeal. She's very powerful physically. And she's programmed to be an assassin for Shizor, so she's kind of his right-hand female instead of man. So, mm-hmm. basically. So you will probably have more detail with Nathan and Andrew, but that's basically my take of those two characters. And you can learn more on Wikipedia.
Yes, that's where I learned, because I didn't know who Guri was until I looked there. But I thought it was a very cool character.
Mm-hmm. But people who want to begin into the expanded universe, they don't know what books to start on, because it's hard now to begin because there's so much novels out there. If you're looking for a book to start and you're familiar with the classic trilogy, the original trilogy movies, well, Shadows of the Empire takes place between episode 5 and 6, so you know mainly everything there is to know if you saw the movies. So it's a great place to start.
That's a good recommendation. I have had a couple of listeners who've said that they're hesitant to begin reading Star Wars novels because of that. You know, they just don't know where to start. So that's a good recommendation.
There's a couple of books in between movies that are standalone. You don't have to know anything else. Snowden tends to be far from the characters, the original characters. So there's so much happening after the movies, so it's really hard to follow. Mm-hmm. They should, you know, go back to basics, or doing just less book.
Yeah.
More quality and less book. You know, a story that can be told in 3 books, do a trilogy, don't do a 20-book series.
That's true. I agree with you there. Well, can you describe the basics of your story? I know you don't want to get into too many details because it might give it away, but perhaps you could just touch on the basics of the plot.
Well, basically it's the story of Emma Wormis, so the niece of Malchief Wormis. She's been raised by her father, who is also an Imperial officer. So she lived all her life surrounded in the Empire, and especially the military. So she knew nothing else than the Empire, what's broadcast on Coruscant. For her, the rebel are basically terrorists who are trying to bring down the Empire. So she's pro-Imperial, we can say. She don't know anything else that's outside Coruscant. She never left the planet. She's a book smart, but not street smart. She has been admitted to the academy, and she's planning to go. She will have to leave the planet, and she will discover that the Empire is not what she always thought it was. She will discover things about her family, things about a secret weapon again, and, you know, that's it.
Well, that's a good start.
I don't want to give too much detail. I can say that there's the first 3 episodes. That's where she's learning more about the rebellion, what the Empire does, really, how the Empire, use force and fear to control the galaxy. The fourth and fifth episode are more about revelations, so we will learn more in those episodes. And the last one, which is we returned in the 6th episode with a little bit more action as the drama concludes.
I think that's a good start. And I personally like the fact that the protagonist is a woman. Nice choice.
Well, there's so few women stories out there. So it's going to be a girl story from a guy's point of view, because basically I'm a guy, so it might not be the same as if a lady has would have written it. But
you did a good job. I read the whole script.
Thank you for editing it.
No problem.
My English isn't that great, so I need to have more flow into my writing. You know, it's my first story ever, so even in French, I never wrote anything longer than 4 pages. So this is my first story in 37 years.
Well, that's a good segue now that you brought that up. Yeah. How long did it take you to write the script?
Well, I unfortunately lost my job, so I had the chance to write something. It's a story that I would never have written because I, with work and buying a house and all those things, it's something I would never have had the time to do. So it took approximately 4 months. So from January to April, basically. The script is about 88 pages long. And like I said, it was my first story. The hardest part for me, obviously, that's the word, is to write a script in my second language. It's harder than one can imagine because most of the time you don't have the proper vocabulary to convey your idea. Mm-hmm. It's hard even to write in your own language. So imagine another. So you told me that you speak Spanish, right? So maybe writing a story in Spanish would be
yeah, for you. Killer. It would be very, very difficult.
You know, so I'm very proud of that, to have my first story in my second language. I decided to go with English because the movies are basically English movies, Star Wars movies, and the public it's more international. Mm-hmm. Yes, I could have done it for the French community in French, but I don't have the as much fans that could, you know, listen to it. So I decided to go with the English language, and it will be easier afterwards if I want to do it in French. All the sound effects are done, so I would only have to cast French-speaking voice actors, and I would only have to patch in the voices because most of the job is already done. So, also, the most important thing for me is to have the Star Wars feel to the story. If it has the feel of Star Wars when you read or listen to the story, I'm satisfied. Now, even if the story sucks, if I have the Star Wars feeling, it should be good. You know? Writers always are scared about putting their work in the public eye. They're always second-guessing themselves. So
definitely.
I'm not different than those people. Well, I thought about writing it as a fan fiction, mm-hmm, or a novel, but I knew that very few people would have access to it, or even because the audio format is so popular now with the audiobooks and all, that the written form isn't quite as popular for Star Wars.
Yeah.
A lot of people listen to audiobooks in their commute or while doing other stuff. So I decided to go for the audio drama form, which is obvious for me.
Well, I've done a few audio dramas myself, and having written fan fiction, that is a lot of fun to do as a group, which I do on the Trex and Sci-Fi board with the RPG writers. We took what we wrote there and we made it into an audio drama, and it just brings things to life because you have it all written down. But once you hear the voice of your character speaking, it's just a whole different feel. And then you have the environments that you bring in with the sound effects, and then you add the icing on the cake, which is the music, and it's just very dramatic, and it's a whole different world from just a fan fiction, which is also fun, and everyone should read fan fiction. But anyway,
and in your case, it's a community thing, so everybody's involved, which is different from most of the audio drama, which are written by only one person.
And I can only imagine how hard it is to do everything yourself. Yeah. So
I don't do audio drama very often.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a full-time job in and of itself. Are there any projects that inspired you other audio dramas or fan fiction?
Well, obviously, Brian Daley's Star Wars audio drama. They did a way back. I discovered those in the 90s, and that inspired me to do such things, like the radio show and all those types of audio work. Obviously, the movies. And the Expanded Universe inspired also me also for that project, mostly. Of course, the feedback I had from Omega Squad Targets, my first audio drama, motivated me to do another one because the first impression I got from everybody is that your first audio drama. I don't believe it. It was already good for my first one, so... It was a good motivation to try and do something else, but this time with my own story. I would say that everything on Star Wars Fanworks, all audio drama that are produced there, inspire me in some way or another. There's always something to learn by listening to them. What inspired me really for the story, I can't tell because it's going to give the story away. It's something that happened when me and my friends, we organized the... a viewing of the Attack of the Clone for IMAX in 2002. We rented a venue and bring on some people from our website that we were doing in French in Montreal. And some people in costume did some things that were inspiring to me. So from that point on, I had the idea from that. So it was in 2002. November, but I never got the chance to do it until now. So.
Well, you have a fairly large cast of actors and actresses. Did you write any of the roles with specific actors in mind for some parts? How did you go about casting? What were you looking for?
I didn't really add anyone in mind. Maybe only Sean Crosby, which had worked for me in the past in Omega Squad Targets, which he did all the clones. In there, and he worked for me also in Star Wars on the Rec when he did some promo for us, and he did the voice of Vader in that, which he was awesome. He has a great Vader voice, so I knew he would be Vader, the only character, but he also got the main character, so really proud of that. But most of the cast is from the fan audio community, so a lot of them are good actors already. And have shows and audio drama of their own, like you, Jim Perry, Nathan Butler, Rich Siegfried, Steve Seller, Joe Harrison, and the Gilbertson. Some voice actors like Sean Crosby and Ara Pelody have worked for me in the past on Targets and on Star Wars on the Rec. The only one that's unknown to everybody is Tina Wang. She was one of the few actresses who was interested in working for me after hearing Targets. She contacted me way back in 2006 when I released it. And she did at that time, let me know if you do another audio drama and I will audition.
Cool.
So I did exactly that. I told her I'm doing an audio drama. Here is the link to the audition. You can try out. And basically she got the main role of Emma.
That's awesome.
So Sean, Ara, and Tina have done some professional work in the past. So they all, Sean, I think, was one of the voice in Doom. You know the video game Doom? Way, way back. I think Ara did some, she does a lot of fan audio dramas series. And Tina has done some professional work, but I think she did an audio play at some point. And some video games, but I don't know exactly what exact project she did. And I'm consider myself lucky to have them as my three main characters if they've done some professional work. Everybody in the drama is good, but those have professional experience, so that's good for me.
Definitely.
I'm lucky to have them.
Yeah. I had no idea that you had professional actors playing those parts.
Well, they don't do that as full-time. They do that part-time, like most of the people. Like that, I know there's people who are trying out all the time. It's kind of the second career. So I'm lucky to have them. And I hope the result will be as good as their performances. And I also have special guest roles that I handed to host of my favorite Star Wars podcast, which is nice because I knew that having those on board would help the drama, you know, to have a bigger public.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be, it includes you. So there's people from the Force cast, Jimmy Mack, or Arnie Carvalho from Star Wars Action News. They're not actors, but they did a damn fine job with the small roles they had. So,
what parts did they play?
Jimmy Mack plays a stormtrooper. Mm-hmm. Stormtrooper number 4. And Arnie plays a rebel prisoner. So, unfortunately, cool. Both will die. But... Oh, too much information.
I can edit it out if you want me to.
No. It's okay.
Well, I know I had a few redos to record for my role. You had a very specific idea of what you wanted the character of Guri to sound like. She's described in the books as a human replica droid, as you've said. And she has to sound cool and aloof, but there were times when she had to sound sultry and seductive. So I had a little trouble at times trying to keep those two straight. You know, when was she supposed to sound seductive and when was she supposed to just sound like Data, you know?
Yeah.
And so did you have a specific idea of the voice inflections for all of your characters, or were there only just a specific few that you had the voice in your mind that you wanted to sound like?
Basically only Guri and Shizor. I knew Guri could use her charm to have what she wants, so and to, you know, succeed in the mission Shizor told her to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
So she does. There's a backstory about Guri and why she uses her sultry voice in the audio drama. You'll see along the way why she uses it sometimes and why the she don't. And for Shizor, like I said, I didn't use the original voice that was basically canon, which is a more raspy voice, reptilian voice. I want him to be seductive, especially when he uses his pheromones. So I was trying with Jim to have, you know, something with a British accent, something that when he was seductive, he was talking slower and more sultry. It's not easy to direct those type of characters because I never done that before. Basically, when I directed Sean for Targets, well, you're a clone and a military. So, you know, you talk military, you talk like in the movies, basically. So it's easier that way. But going into different mode, like seductive, it's not easy for me. And I'm not used to it. So I think the result is good. And with the music, it will add some depth and it should sound great.
Well, we talked a little about casting and directing, and now I want to talk about production just a little bit. Do you have any specific sound effect resources, or did you make some of those sounds yourself that will appear in the audio drama?
In Star Wars in the Shadows, I have very, very few that I do myself if I can't find them on the internet. As for Star Wars sound, I have a good amount of sound effect from different video games. I have some from Star Wars Galaxies, some from Jedi Knight, some from Knights of the Old Republic, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So for the Star Wars feel of it, if you can have Star Wars sound, it's the best.
Mm-hmm.
Because recreating the sound as Ben Burtt did them, it's pretty much impossible. So I use those. Foley sound effect, I mostly go on the internet. I bought some sound in the past because on the internet, most of the time you have to buy some clips. But I found some places like SoundSnap and mm-hmm. others that their previews is pretty much of good quality. So you can record them and it does a fine job. It's not perfect, mm-hmm. but it does a good job for Foley sound effect, walking and sitting on a chair or whatever.
Right. Yeah, that's a good site. I use it too, SoundSnap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've started charging now, though. So you have to buy like a membership.
Yeah.
So it used to be free. So what about music? How do you go about choosing music for specific scenes?
Well, for Star Wars, it's easier because I only use the soundtrack. I try to keep within the soundtrack. I might go into John Williams' work because he has the same style in between movies. But if I take Indiana Jones music, for example, I won't go with the theme of Indiana Jones because it would take the listener out of the story. You know, you have to stay within Star Wars. So I try to go 100% Star Wars music. But if I need something special that I can't find in the library, the Star Wars library, I will go to other John Williams work. Mm-hmm. I didn't need that for now, but maybe I will. And since I have Shizor and Guri, there's a soundtrack for Shadow of the Empire that came out. So I use that music also.
Cool.
It's not John Williams, and it's pretty different. People will see the difference when I use it. But you have Shizor's theme and Imperial City Coruscant theme, so I use those. And I've picked up some cues, so when there's the main plot is mentioned or implied, I use that theme. And if, for example, there's something more emotional or something about Emma, my main character, I use that theme and that mood. Mm-hmm. So it's important to have the mood of the scene, so you have to find the right cue within the Star Wars music. If it's a battle, you have great battle music in Star Wars. If you have mystery mood, you can find those also in Star Wars, and love theme, and, you know, there's a lot of emotion in the Star Wars movie, so you can find the perfect cue. Mm-hmm. You have to find the perfect length of the clip. That's maybe more different because your scene is not exactly the same length Star Wars, so you might find to mix it with another clip and another sound, soundtrack, you know, to have the perfect balance. But that's putting soundtrack together for your audio drama from existing music isn't easy sometimes. It's not like if you have original music. If you have somebody who knows the story, he can create his own cues. So you know you have a scene that's 5 minutes in length, he can compose something 5 minutes long that has special cues when certain revelations appear. He can have cue exactly at the same time the character mentions it. So it's a lot of work for the feel of it, to have the perfect feel.
Well, you and I are both a part of the Star Wars Fanworks Network, and I think that there's a lot of people that don't know about fan-made audio dramas. There's a great number of people who listen to audiobooks but don't necessarily know that they can, you know, listen to things that are within the realm of their interests, you know, as far as genres go, that fans are making. So if you were to go to StarWarsFanWorks.com, there's a whole page full of great audio dramas, and one of Danny's previous projects is there, along with other radio shows like Anomaly and Star Wars. Was Star Wars On Direct part of it?
We had our own website, but there's a link. We're listed there, but our website is still open, so it's SWENDirect.com. You can have a link for the English archives because we don't make shows anymore. If you click on Français, which is French, you can have there's more shows once a month. Now it's on hiatus because I'm producing Star Wars and the Shadows, but in September, hopefully, I will be able to start back with it's one episode a month. So.
Well, do you have any tips for anyone who might want to try their hand at producing their own audio drama?
You have to be completely committed to it because it's an awful lot of work. If you think writing is hard, sometimes producing it to make it feel right, because you can do it easy. You can have only the voice and music. But if you want to have the feel of a movie without the visual, you have to portray the movement with sound. Sometimes you can't put too much. because the music will hide some of the effects. That's one of my problems. I put too much detail and sometimes the music hides it. But tips to write, but begin by trying something that's not too big of a project. Try a short story or try something from somebody else, maybe an adaptation like I did for my first audio drama, because you will have to adapt it to a script format and then produce it. So as the written part, you can have a fan fiction made or something. Try something that's maybe not more than 10 pages long, maybe a script. Very, very short, like maybe 15 minutes, and try that. Try to find some sound resources. You have to have software. You can go with the free program Audacity. I think that's the most used mixing program out there. It's free, so, and there's a lot of filter and you can use to give effects to your sounds. Then you have to, like I said, make the strip, and then you go to casting. Now, that's another thing that could be tough, because when I did my first audio drama, I had difficulty getting people to audition, because when you're a new writer and people don't know about you, they don't necessarily tend to try out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was known as a Star Wars host. I'm a French-Canadian. How can I write in English? No, I don't know why I didn't add much audition, but I had to have many people do many roles. You know, one people do 3-4 roles. So that in the final product shows, because even if people modify their voices, listener will catch up on the same tone of voice. So they will know it's the same person. So you have to have the more diverse cast as possible. Even with Sours in the Shadows, I had some difficulty having some people aboard, even with my previous work. So it's hard work if you're not part of a big network. Like, I think there's audio drama network like Pendant Production and Broken Production, which they do almost audio drama every week or something. So those are very, very, very well known, and people tend to audition for those. But in independent project, people are more hesitant, especially if they don't know you. If you don't have previous work, they don't want to be associated with you, or they don't want to have a bad project in their curriculum or whatever. I don't know what's in their mind, so.
Yeah, I had a lot of trouble too when I first did the first part of Star Trek Boldly, and I had to beg people to play parts. And for the most part, most of my friends wanted to do it, you know, the friends I knew on the community that I'm a part of. And I had my mother play a part, and my brother, and my niece, and my husband swore no, he was not going to be a part of it, and he didn't, because he just didn't want to hear his voice. But yes, it's the second time, you know, after I did that, everyone liked it so much. It was so much easier to get people to play parts for my second, you know, installment of Star Trek Boldly. So sometimes you just got to ask your mother and your brother and, you know.
Yeah, the sandwich community is really open to that. People have already done audio work. They know how tough it is sometimes to get people to play in their audio drama. So they're really open, and they're good actors.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they're not professionals. So I was lucky for that. And I got some from the exterior of the from outside the community. So with Stars in the Shadow, I'm trying to get people to notice outside of the community also.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm lucky to have publicity from the Forcecast and Star Wars Action News, which have huge following.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can bring those to Fanworks with my project, great. Because people don't really know about audio dramas. They're still in their mind, it's still fan films. I'm trying to, you know, doing my best as a Star Wars Fanwork old timer to, you know, to bring more people. Each time I know Jim Perry with his codename Star Keeper did branch out to more of the writer community. So it's, you know, you try to reach out different ways to bring producer to fan works, mm-hmm. but it's not easy because Star Wars is kind of in a drought right now. It's going to go up again with the live action and with Clone Wars, but it's different. So you have to bring back other producers, because I don't think I will do much Star Wars work after Star Wars in the Shadows. I might do maybe one more somewhere sometimes, but I will take a break after that. My last one was in 2006. I might not be doing one for 3 years, but I will still encourage people to do so. And, you know, with my accent, I don't really act that much, and I'm a really bad actor, but I will be in Star Wars Marvel from Andrew Gilbertson as a very tertiary character. Doing some sound in the background and an alien voices or something. If you have an accent, you have to be an alien. No?
And if you're English, you have to be a bad guy.
Yeah, an empire, an imperial. I had a lot of trouble finding people with English, British accent. Because my story has a lot of imperial officers in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to, you know, branch out. And are you able to do a British accent? And some of them could not.
Yeah, so, it's hard.
You know, there's a lot of people who wanted to play in the audio drama, but only the British roles were still available, so mm-hmm. I couldn't cast them because they couldn't do a British accent.
Yeah, well, one of my friends, a friend of the show too, Meds, he's playing yeah. a couple of roles for like an interrogator and an officer.
Officer, yeah.
Yeah, so he's one of your British actors.
And he did a good job because he has a huge accent mm-hmm. from the north of
England.
England, mm-hmm. so... He did a good work. Also, did a great job for those two roles. So it doesn't, his accent doesn't show too much.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Awesome. Well, when do you expect your first episode to be released?
Let's say, hopefully, it's in September. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, because I'm going back to school for 3 years, so full time. So I have like 5 weeks still to finish.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to start, because I don't want to release an episode, then wait 3 or 4 months for the second one and 3 or 4 more months for the other one. I want to have all the episodes done and after that decide the release schedule. Maybe a 2 weeks in between or 1 month in between episode maximum to release. So people will have time, the word to mouth will have time to work its way around, maybe. Good enough, it will be talked about. My pace in my writing and my producing, I would say it's slower than what we're used to on Fanworks. Most of the, I would say most of, for example, Joe Harrison work is more, the events unfold really fast, you know, mm-hmm. the action, it's real fast. My pace is slower. So it might be, some people might like it. Some people might not like it. It's different. Like different directors and producers in the movie business, you have different feel for different movies. So
definitely. Well, where can our listeners learn more about Star Wars in the Shadows, and where will it be released?
Basically, the website. So it's creativeaudioscape.com, which is the website. There you can follow me on Twitter. I think that's the place I do most of my updates.
Mm-hmm.
And the RSS feed is available there also. I only have my first project on there, so the Target trailer and Target's audio drama is available. It will probably, Star Wars and the Shadow will be released on that feed, and it's available on iTunes also. All the links are on the website. And I have a thread on the Galactic Senate board, which is sometimes lost in the page. I don't update as much as I would like. because I don't have much time to go there anymore since I'm producing it. So I expect a lot of criticism, like any Star Wars author has from fans of the EU. Oh, you did not do this the right way, or not the good voice, you know. But hopefully it will be more positive than negative. So
I'm sure it will. Thank you very much for coming and being a part of our show.
No problem. It was my pleasure. And people will now know who's behind the audio drama.
Definitely.
So the guy with the accent. That's basically how I'm known.
The guy with the accent. Well, we all have accents depending on where you're from. So.
Non-American accents.
Hello, Anomaly listeners. This is Nathan P. Butler from StarWarsFanWorks.com, the home of Star Wars fan audio, and the Star Wars Timeline Gold, the most comprehensive Star Wars chronology available anywhere, free, online, again, at StarWarsFanWorks.com/timeline this time, coming to you not to promote myself, although boy, it sure seems like it by now, doesn't it, but to give you some perspective on the interview that the Anomaly ladies have conducted with Danny Pepin, creator of the upcoming Star Wars fan audio drama, In the Shadows. In preparation for this audio drama, Jen has asked that I provide you with a little bit of background on two specific characters in the expanded universe, Prince Shizor and Guri. Both of those characters, Shizor and Guri, made their first real appearance in Shadows of the Empire, which was a unique Star Wars project for the time. Because just like what's now happening with things like The Force Unleashed or the Clone Wars television series, you had interconnected media here. It was a video game, it was a novel, it was a comic book, all three of which focused on different angles within the story. The comics followed some bounty hunters. The game was mostly about the character Dash Rendar and his adventures. The novel focused on our classic trilogy heroes, the film heroes, as they came up against Prince Shizor, and by extension Guri, who was his bodyguard. Shizor is a Faline, a green-skinned reptilian humanoid who has the ability to use pheromones to influence people's moods. He doesn't use the Force, but those pheromones give him a pretty big advantage. You may recall a comic book called Darth Maul, which was really awesome and had some great Jan Dersima artwork in it. In that, Darth Maul wipes out most of the leaders of Black Sun, the criminal organization that's sort of considered the big crime organization outside of the Hutts in the Star Wars universe, thanks to Shadows of the Empire. When he wipes out those leaders, he makes a lot of positions as Vigos open. Vigos are sort of the second tier directly underneath the head of Black Sun, or the Prince of Black Sun. Shizor eventually becomes one of these Vigos. It's while trying to become a Vigo that we first see him chronologically in an actual novel of any substance with any real presence for himself, Michael Reeves' Coruscant Knights, Jedi Twilight. He eventually manages to become a Vigo and works his way up to becoming the Prince of Black Sun, the godfather, you might say, of this massive criminal organization. Put it this way, the sheer power he amasses makes him a rival for the Emperor's attention with Darth Vader. Vader considers Shizor a threat to him, and that's actually part of the storyline of Shadows of the Empire. Shadows, and that's Shadows of the Empire, not In the Shadows, actually sees Shizor going head-to-head with Vader, trying to reach Luke Skywalker first in the era between The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Eventually, though, the Dark Lord must win, and Shizor gets taken out. We never do see Shizor again after that, at least not in any canonical stories. The guy's dead, or at least presumed dead. We do, however, see his niece, Savan, take control of Black Sun later in a storyline called Shadows of the Empire, Evolution, a comic book series that takes place quite a while later. What that sequel story does, though, is expand upon the character of Guri. So who's this Guri? Well, imagine how you would probably picture the hosts of Anomaly. Women who are strong, confident, capable, knowledgeable, able to fend for themselves. And then add in being a human replica droid that could break every bone in your body. That's Guri. The character's background is a little muddled in some confusion here. There's two different people said to have been credited with her creation. Depending on which source you look at, and most recent sources have said they worked on it together, Simonel and Massad Thrumble, both of whom were working for Prince Shizor at the time. She was essentially a perfect replica of a woman, a human female, except she was a droid. She was essentially his second in command. She did a lot of the administrative work for him. She was sort of the Vader to his emperor, so to speak. We see her working for Shizor in pretty much every appearance up through Shadows of the Empire, at which point Shizor's gone, Guri's been defeated but left alive by Luke Skywalker, and she's able to escape. The Shadows of the Empire Evolution comic book series then follows her quest to find her creator, Thrumble, and get her assassin programming completely removed so that she can have a chance to live, or operate through, a normal life. Beyond that, we don't know much about Guri, although we do know, thanks to a New Jedi Order era short story called Or Die Trying, that eventually she hooks up with Dash Rendar, they work together as mercenaries for a while, and the technology that made her eventually becomes a thriving business for Dash Rendar's family. What's probably rarely recalled about Guri is that the research that went into her is actually tied into information that was stolen from a Rebel Alliance project that tried to create the same type of being, a human replica droid. That project actually makes its appearance in one of the earliest Star Wars EU storylines produced in the 1990s after the official EU started, in one of the most maligned and in many cases hated Star Wars storylines ever, the Jedi Prince series by Paul and Hollis Davids. It's just another example of old EU catching up with the new and making a background that probably neither group ever intended. So that's a bit about Shizor and Guri to prepare you for In the Shadows, and while we're at it, let me suggest that if you want to prepare for In the Shadows and get a feel for what type of thing you're going to hear, I would check out Danny's other audio drama, though he may not suggest it to you out of modesty, Omega Squad Targets. It's an audio drama adaptation that he made a while back of Karen Travis's short story of the same name. You can find it on StarWarsFanWorks.com or CreativeAudioscape.com, and it is one of the best Star Wars fan audio dramas in terms of mixing and just the overall feel of the tale that I've ever heard. And I've been in the Star Wars fan audio genre since the beginning. Check it out. It won't disappoint. Now back to your Anomaly hosts.
Thank you, Nathan. And now for that clip I promised from the first part of Star Wars In the Shadows, featuring the characters of Guri, played by myself, and Shizor, played by Jim Perry.
The information your organization provided us with was very useful. We were able to repel the rebel attack.
I'm delighted it served you well, Your Highness. I hope you'll be more complacent regarding our activities in the future. We could both gain from this partnership.
I will inform Lord Vader of our understanding.
I don't believe Vader is very fond of me or my organization, Emperor.
He will listen to me. Thank you, Prince Shizor.
It was my pleasure, Your Highness. You may enter.
Here they are, my prince.
You failed your assignment. We lost 2 agents, 2 speeders, and that's not counting the unwanted attention you brought to Black Sun by crashing into a magistrate building. What do you have to say for yourselves?
We are very sorry, my prince.
They surprised us with a droid, my prince.
They? Who are they?
Xander was with a young woman named Emma Wormus. She's the daughter of Idel Wormus, an Imperial Security Bureau officer who died last week. She's also the niece of Captain Molchiv Wormus, currently serving aboard the Devastator. The name and whereabouts of her mother are unknown. Miss Wormus may be an Imperial contact of some sort. She definitely has military ties, and she's applied to the officer training program at the Imperial Academy. I've taken the liberty of communicating with our undercover agent at Imperial Intelligence, and he found another very interesting detail about Wormus.
Go on.
Emma's father was assigned to a secret project of the Empire.
A secret project division? As in secret weapons?
We don't know for sure. It is highly classified information, and our agent doesn't have the superior security clearance to access or search deeper within the database. We are attempting to gain entry without compromising our agent.
Secret projects. What are you hiding from me, Palpatine? A new technology? Perhaps a new biological weapon? Do you think she knows something?
It's possible, but unlikely.
Black Sun would greatly profit from new technologies.
Perhaps her uncle has access to the high security database aboard the Devastator. We could use her as a bargaining chip. And if we get Xander at the same time, it would be an added bonus.
I like your thinking, Yuri. If she knows something, I will obtain it from her. You know how charming I can be.
Yes, my prince.
Any holos of this young lady?
Here's one from the Outlander Club's security cameras. From what I could gather from the police reports, they abandoned the speeder in the Uskru district and left the system aboard a Corellian transport.
Trace the name of their ship and find them. I want them alive.
Right away, my prince.
I'm disappointed in you two. It is with great sadness that I must relieve you of your duties. Yuri. Tell the guards to clean up this mess.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed this interview, and that it enticed you to seek out the upcoming audio drama. Bear in mind, Danny is a fan, just like you and me. He had the will to produce something creative, and he had a lot of fun at it. Audio dramas are a dying art, but they're making a comeback online. You can show your support for these works by heading to places like StarWarsFanWorks.com and downloading the shows available there. One such show is up for the prestigious Parsec Award. Star Wars codenamed Starkeeper by Jim Perry. You may have heard Jim's promos being played at the end of Anomaly. His podcast is called The Adventures of Indiana Jim, and you can find a link to his show on the Anomaly Podcast blog. I'm Jen, and you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge. Podcasting is hard work. Know what makes it worth all the effort and encourages us to keep going? Your highly anticipated emails, blog comments, and ratings, of course. Please remember to tip your anomalous co-hosts with feedback. Lots and lots of feedback. Want to stay in the Anomaly loop? Follow Jen and Angela on Twitter. Jen's Twitter name is Sevryll, S-E-V-R-Y-L-L. Angela's Twitter name is ArcAngela23, A-R-C-H-A-N-G-E-L-A 23. Drop us a line and let us know you're following us. Otherwise, you may get blocked. And don't forget to follow the Anomaly blog. There you'll find details you may have missed in the shows, commentary, and videos. find a link to our blog and other useful bits of information on the Anomaly Podcast website. That's anomalypodcast.com. Anomaly is released under an attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives 3.0 license, which means you can copy, distribute, and transmit the work, but you can't alter, transform, or build upon it without our permission.
Everyone, please remain calm. The Tiberius is one of the most well-designed ships in the fleet. It would take a hell of a lot more than a little interstellar turbulence to threaten her structural integrity.
Warning. Depressurization detected.
Deck 2. If we don't catch this soon, it can have catastrophic consequences for the Tiberius.
I don't know if I can cure you or anyone else, Captain.
This is going to be a long day.
Star Trek Boldly. Found only on the Treks in Sci-Fi and Anomaly podcast feeds.
Looking for more fan-made Star Wars audio productions? Then look no further than the home of Star Wars fan audio, StarWarsFanWorks.com. It's your source for audio dramas, audio parodies, online radio shows, and podcasts, plus the most comprehensive Star Wars fan audio news found anywhere. StarWarsFanWorks.com. Fandom has a whole new sound.
Hello there.
My name is...
Han Solo. I'm Captain of the Millennium Falcon.
No.
Lisa called Jatta Binks.
No.
Ben Kenobi?
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
No.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
No, Indiana Jim.
The princess?
The princess? She's here?
No,
princess,
no.
What's going on?
The intrepid archgeologist.
I recognized your foul stench when I was brought on board.
Well, that's not very nice. Look, would you just let me talk
for once? The ability to speak does not make you intelligent.
Hey!
I am wondering, why are you here?
I'm here to invite you to listen to my podcast, The Adventures of Indiana Jim.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Look, we talk about sci-fi and fantasy books and movies, creative writing, and what's hot in the world of podcasting and new media.
I knew that you were going to say that.
I also have interviews with authors, and even talk a little football every now and then.
Why, you slimy, double-crossing, no-good swindler.
Who says you can't be a geek and a sports fan?
Where are you taking this thing?
Oh, right. Podcast.indianajim.net.
Once you've finished listening to the excellent Anomaly podcast with Jen and Angela, why don't you pop over to our podcast? We're called Waffle On. And every few weeks, we'll be discussing a classic television show broadcast on British TV between 1960 and 1990. We'll be talking about British-made, US-made, and Australian-made shows. So come waffle on with us at http://waffleon.podbean.com or simply head to iTunes and type in Waffle On. We'd be honoured if you'd join us.
The 23rd!
Oh, Christ, what the heck was that?
In space and on the ground. Action, excitement, suspense that never lets up.
Evil and vile. Disgusting. Killed Andre. She killed Andre. She killed Andre.
The 23rd is a podcast series of crime and punishment at the end of the 21st century.
Don't. You think so, old man? You think so? Yeah, I think so.
Thrilled to the exciting adventures of Gideon Carpenter as he leads his ragtag band of detectives on a crime-solving spree across the universe.
If I'm hurting feelings or stepping on toes or just generally throwing people off, that's just too bad.
The 23rd is written and performed by Edward Woodward.
I am not a lesbian.
Find the 23rd at www.the23rd.ning.com.
Your management style is exactly what's at issue. Now, since you appear to be having some problems determining exactly what your job is, I will be making that determination for you. Now, from both of you.
Music for this promo provided by the band Vincent Van Gogh and the PodSafe Music Network. Find them at music.podshow.com.
Greetings, guildies. I'm Kenny.
And I'm Jenny.
And we're the host of a brand new podcast, Knights of the Guild, the official fan podcast of the web series The Guild.
Each month, we'll bring you the latest news about the Guild cast, including what projects they're working on and what conventions they'll be attending.
Also, we'll be updating you on the current season, be it Season 2, which is currently airing on MSN Video, or Season 3, which is in the early pre-production stage.
We'll talk about some behind-the-scenes fun of Season 2,
as well as having cast, crew, and fan interviews.
So head over to iTunes and subscribe to Knights of the Guild.
Or go to our website for a direct download at knightsoftheguild.podbean.com. Zaboo!
Hi, I'm Rick Moyer, and I have to confess to you that I am an anomaly. It's true, I'm a geek, and I'm a really bad geek. Not in the terms of being mean or evil, but, you know, I'm just geeky. I like geeky things, and I'm just sad at the lack of geeky music that's out there. You know what I mean? I mean, who likes to listen to the pop hits of today's musicians? I don't. I like the catchy tunes and everything, but they just don't satisfy the geek within me. And so, I borrowed their music and I made it my own. And so, that's why I do what I do. And I want you to listen to some of my favorites, like We Will Spock You.
Buddy, you're a Vulcan, make an eyebrow, raising on your face. Gonna be in Starfleet someday, you got green on your face. Pointed ears graced, spouting big statistics all over the place.
We will Spock you.
Or how about TNG? Or it's the Mirror Universe.
It's a Mirror Universe.
I've always wanted to be a robot gunslinger cowboy.
I want to be a robot gunslinger cowboy. I want to be a robot gunslinging cowboy.
How about Gamma Hydra 4?
Will you still test me, hypo-inject me on Gamma Hydra 4?
Or humans playing Domjot?
Humans playing Domjot! Just some humans playing Domjot. Humans playing Domjot, the Nausicaan way.
Hey, it's all over at www.christrocks.com/parody. That's me, Rick Moyer, and that's the site you can download all sorts of free MP3s. Not only are there parody music there, but there's all sorts of other cool music there too. All free and fun, just for the geeks like me and you. I am an anomaly, and I really like the Anomaly Podcast. Thanks, Jen and Angela.
The Treks in Sci-Fi Podcast.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Sci-fi entertainment news and commentary.
I am Locutus of Borg.
Star Trek episode analysis.
Captain of the USS Enterprise.
Pokey religions and ancient weapons.
Collectibles, toy, and prop reviews.
I am to misbehave.
The weekly Treks in Sci-Fi podcast with your host Rico at treksinscifi.com.
Roni's Own Radio, a show where we talk to people. Some you've heard of, many you haven't. We discuss topics in the news, on your mind, and some topics that no one talks about. Roni's Own Radio is an award-winning view and interview show hosted by Jeff Roni. So now you can't say that you've never heard of Roni's Own Radio, because you just did. Visit jrdonline.com and see what people are talking about in the Roni Zone. Roni's Own Radio can be found at jrdonline.com.